Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your homeschool companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm Rose.
I'm Kathy.
And today our guest is Linda Gilden. And since it's February, I thought it would be so cool to read from her book called Love Notes in Lunchboxes. And this is from Lauren, who is age 17. And she says, "When I was in eighth grade, I got a lunchbox note from my mom. It was a red heart-shaped card, and on the front it said, 'I love you, love Mom. I've always known that my mom loves me, but after a hard day, just to get a note that said, I love you, from my mom, made my day and brought a smile to my face. In fact, I'm in the 11th grade now, and to this day, I love that note, and I still have it.'" Isn't that cool?
That is so cool. I try to give my kids lunchbox notes every once in a while.
Well, I gave my husband one the other day, and that made his day, too. So that's your idea for February. I'm here with Linda Gilden, and we are talking about mothers. And it appears that you have a heart for moms. And I'm holding in my hand one of your newest books called Mommy Pick-Me-Ups. Tell me first of all, a little bit of your background and how you came to this point in your life.
Well, I have three children. And I decided way in the beginning of the mothering process that mothering could be fun. It didn't have to be a drudgery. I had friends who were just, so to speak, sludging through the maternal years, and I watched them just not enjoying their children at all. And so I decided at that point that it could be fun to be a mom. I still had to be the authority figure, but we could do the fun things. So I became the mom that my children brought children home to have fun and then sent them back to their houses. But I believe that God gave us our children not only to raise, to discipline, to nurture, but to enjoy.
Well, what are some of the fun things you did with your, let's say, 7, 8-year-olds?
Well, a lot of things for that age can become a game. Mm-hmm. They like games. So if you're cleaning up or if you're, or a challenge. I have a 6-year-old granddaughter now, and challenge is really good,
yes,
for her, because if you can challenge her to clean up a room in a certain amount of time.
I mean, do you think God wires children to want to learn in a creative and fun way?
Absolutely. I think kids, they really do want to have fun. They realize they need boundaries, even though they won't tell you that. But they need the boundaries, but they also want to enjoy that time of their lives as well. So, and they'll look back on that time and remember the fun things, and the things that weren't so much fun will kind of slide out of the way.
Well, do you think that modeling or providing boundaries for them help them learn to set their own boundaries for themselves?
Absolutely. Even when they're young, say 1 or 2, you can give them a choice of apple juice or orange juice.
Yes.
And so beginning to help them learn choices and then telling them as they get older what the boundaries are, so their choice becomes stay within the boundary or cross the line, and that brings a consequence.
Yes. Well, I'm holding in front of me 3 books. Love Notes on His Pillow, and Every Other Day Ways to Keep Your Love Alive. So that book you wrote for women for understanding their men or helping.
It's actually for men and women because it's a reciprocal thing. And your children are going to be a lot happier if you and your husband are happy and enjoy each other.
So you're saying, number one, the relationship you have with your spouse. I heard it said that the greatest gift you could give your child was to love your spouse. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but it certainly plays a part.
Absolutely, because it models adult love to them. It models what they need to look for in a mate. And it also shows them that you and your husband, or your the husband and wife, are on a team. You're standing together in this parenting thing.
I love it. You're talking about paperless love notes in one section where you say, when you are getting ready to go out and you and your spouse are in the bathroom primping, write him a message on the steamed-up mirror shower door.
There's so many little things you can do.
You know, I think that's one thing. Couples don't, they're not playful anymore. They're just,
right.
They're just barely treading
they're
water.
They're busy, they're tired, both of them are probably working. Mm-hmm. And so it feels like there's less time for playfulness, but it really means that you need to work harder at it. And some of the things in this book are things that you can do, notes you can put in his briefcase. My husband, one of the fun things he does for me is if we're eating potato chips together, I like the folded ones, and they're always two or three in a bag, and he never says a word. He just pulls the folded ones out and smiles and hands them to me. That's
yes.
a love note.
That is.
That says, I love you to me.
I mean, I think on some level, it's our priorities. We've just gotten so busy at making do that our priority isn't for our spouse.
Right.
Not that we don't love them. We just kind of take them for granted because, well, I mean, they're an extension of myself, so surely they want the same goals that I'm striving for.
Sure
and
they
then,
do.
And we don't realize that we need to just say, okay, we're going to prioritize what is valuable to us. Now, you said this love notes on his pillow is going to soon be an e-book, or am I correct about
it
that?
It is. We're hoping that very soon we'll have that in an e-book format.
And listeners, you can go to www.lindagilden.com. That's LINDAGILDEN.com and get more information. In fact, often I know my listeners will go to the website at the same time as they're listening to our conversation. Then you have love notes in lunch boxes. So tell me some of the creative ways that you have sent a love note in your child's lunchbox or maybe your spouse's lunchbox.
Could be either. I realized when my first child went to school that all of a sudden she was going to be with other adults beside me for a really large part of the day. So I needed to find a way to be present in her life, even though I wasn't present physically. And so I began to do things in her lunchbox. I might write a note if it's Christmas or some special occasion. I might decorate the inside of the lunchbox so when she opened it, there was something special. I might cut her sandwich into a heart. Or maybe take a toothpick and dip it in food color and write a note on her sandwich. Mm-hmm. So it just began, when my children began taking lunches, I realized that that was something, a real fertile ground for encouragement that I needed to tap. And it went on from the time mine went to first grade through the 12th grade. And the really neat thing about to me was when one of my children was in junior high, I received a phone call. And it was from one of my children's friends asking me to put notes in my daughter's lunchbox that she could get out when they sat down to eat.
Yeah.
And that was not the only request I had from other children.
Yes.
And so kids are needing this encouragement. They need affection. They need just to know somebody cares. And a lot of parents really want to do that. They just don't really know how.
Yes.
And they don't think about the fact that just a recycled McDonald's toy in a lunch, or maybe even one of my children one time got a pack of cards for a birthday present that were optical illusions, and that was when they were young. Well, when they got to be junior high or high school, I would put one card in their lunch. Anything that says, I've
yeah.
been here, my mom has
yeah.
touched this lunch, and I love you. And in this book, I interviewed kids who had been lunchbox kids, that's what mm-hmm. I called them, and asked them what they remembered. And the overwhelming thing they said was, you know, I don't really remember what a lot of the notes said, but I know they made me feel special,
mm-hmm.
and I know they meant, I love you.
Yes. In fact, you can even take and write on a banana.
It's absolutely.
And then it turns.
Yes.
And nowadays with the hot lunch programs in public school, we think we're doing our part as a parent if we've remembered to give them their lunch money. We've
right.
just gotten so busy. And it's not that we love our kids less. We've just gotten so busy. And I've been teaching in middle school, and the kids there are just as needy, if not more needy, than the kids in the elementary school to know that their parents care for them and love them.
They are, and some parents are hesitant once kids get to junior high to do anything like that. And you need to be sensitive to your child. Mine loved it, boys and girls, all the way up. My friends, some of them, their children liked it in junior high and high school. Others of them said, please don't ever put a note in my lunch again. So what do you do? They have pillows on their bed. They have soccer shoes. Mm-hmm. They have lockers. One of the best places for my kids when they got older was the bathroom mirror. And I, a lot of times, just put a verse of scripture there. And I'd leave it for a week or two and give them time to actually memorize it.
Yeah.
So it's not just in the lunchbox. It's places that they will find it, maybe on their car. At one point, my daughter had sticky notes all across her dashboard because she didn't want to get rid of the ones I would stick on her steering wheel in high school.
Yes, and you know, now that I have grown children, and I'm looking at, I need to affirm them more, too.
Absolutely.
You know, I just figure they're all married, they've got good jobs, and... But I need to affirm them more, too, because some of the things I treasure are notes that my mom emailed me or left me after I was grown. So we really cannot affirm too much.
And don't forget your in-laws.
Yes.
You know, in the beginning when my first daughter got married, I realized I was inclined maybe to write them a note together and address it to Mr. and Mrs. But then I realized her husband needed my affirmation just as much as she did.
Yeah.
So at that point, which was 15 years ago, I began to write them separate notes every now and then.
Yes. Well, we have to take a break right now, but when we come back, we're going to talk about mommy pick-me-ups. What can we do for me, the mommy? We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Wyatt. I'm going to talk about jokes. There are two kinds of jokes. There are the jokes that are good and bad jokes. The good jokes are the ones that can help fight cancer, etc. The bad jokes are like crack and cigarettes. Now, you probably won't die the first time you take them, but if you keep taking them, then you'll probably die. So if you want to live a long, happy life, then don't take drugs.
This teen topic was written and produced by a student from Highland View Academy. For more information about Highland View Academy, go to www.hva-edu.com. That's www.hva-edu.com.
Well, you've heard a lot about Haiti in the news, and the dust has settled now. A lot of the help has left, and there's still a number of displaced children and children with special needs. In fact, it's dramatically increased. We're stretching our resources to provide food, shelter, education, and the medical care that these children need. I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and I've chosen Restore a Child as the humanitarian organization I'm going to support.
To make a donation, go to www.restoreachild.org or call 877-745-7833. That's 877-745-7833.
Welcome back. We're talking with Linda Gildon, and we've just been talking about affirmation. In fact, I often will tell teachers, let's make this last week of school affirmation, because by then you're exhausted. Yeah. Yeah. As a teacher, the last week of school, I would say, okay, let's do affirmation. And just, you know, project affirmation. And we really were able to end the school year on a very affirming note. I don't think we can affirm too much. I really don't think we can. But it has to be genuine, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. They will see right
yes,
through you.
Yes, they know if you really don't care.
And my children have always been really sensitive to my body language, my facial expressions, and often I might even be sitting there just not smiling and I'm not mad, but they'll look at me and go, what's wrong? And it's not that it's wrong. My personality is very melancholy, which means that I'm not real bubbly all the time. I'm happy just being and just sitting. So sometimes they'll just look at me and go, what's wrong? And it's not that it's wrong. I'm just enjoying being in the moment and in watching them.
Now, I have saved the best for the last because mommy pick-me-ups, mommies really do lead a life with little affirmation, maybe the smile of their child or the child say, I love you, mommy. And that's what they live for. But this book just gives you it really does pick you up. Mommy pick-me-ups, refreshing stories to lighten your load. And I'm going to include these stories with your permission in other shows as little vignettes just to lighten up the listener's load. What prompted you to write this book?
Part of it, I think, was that I enjoyed being a mother with every age of my children. And like I said earlier, watching people who didn't enjoy it. And I just really realized that they needed some encouragement, but they don't have a lot of time. So the pick-me-ups include a very short devotion, and that's in the form of an anecdote, that some story of maybe something that I experienced along the way that was fun, that hopefully they could look at and go, oh, I could do that, or my child did that the other day, and I really didn't pay attention to how much fun it was. So just an opportunity to encourage them. And then each one of these has an application point to it where I can encourage the moms to maybe find something fun to do with their child that day that's on the same line or maybe enhances the scripture that goes with that story.
So it's a little story, then it's a message from the scripture, and then the pick-me-up is the application, and then creative parenting section is something that you can expand on.
Something for them to do, yeah. And there's also some ideas in the appendix as well. So it's just a really fun book. So hopefully those stories will encourage. My favorite story in the book is one of the stories of where I walked into the kindergarten spring fair. And my son was 3 years old. And, of course, there are wonderful cupcake paper flowers everywhere and pictures and popsicle sticks. And I came down the hall, and there was a quilt. And the quilt was made of pieces of construction paper, and there were handprints on every one. And as my husband and I approached that quilt, I looked at it, and I went, there are no names on those hands. And I continued to look at the quilt, and I went, there are Jeff's hands. I didn't need a name. I knew his hands so well that I didn't need a name. And the Lord just reminded me that's how much he loves every one of us. He knows our hands, the hairs on our heads. And it was a great story and application for me of just a reminder of how much God loves us and how unique we all are. Mm-hmm. And yet to him, we are unique in the so much that he knows every one of us.
Yes.
And so in the application point, I encourage them to look at their hands and to get their children to look at their hands and talk about the hands and how different they are. And then use a scripture where it says that we're all in the palm. God holds us in the palm of his hand in Psalms. And I tell my children, look at that palm of your hand. If you are in that palm, you can close your fingers. You can't get out. That's the most secure place you can be. And there we are in the Father's palm of his hand.
What a wonderful analogy. As you talk, I'm getting all of these pictures of kids and experiences and mommies who are so emotionally drained. They're not getting enough sleep. The kids are acting out. They don't know how they're going to pay the bills. They really need to go back to work, but it costs more money to pay daycare than it does to stay at home. And got one kid in school, and should they homeschool? Should they go to traditional school? This book, I think, serves as a reminder. It just brings us back. It recenters us, don't you think?
I do, and I think it helps to recenter the family because it's helping the mom to refocus for just a few minutes on her spiritual relationship and how God is guiding her along her day, sometimes in the middle of the dirty socks and stinky clothes and muddy shoes.
Yes.
We forget that God knows we're right there.
And, you know, they were talking about how the Bible is one of the most purchased books but least read books. we all treat it with respect. I think we treat it with so much respect that we often only think, well, we can't read it now because we're, you know, we're washing dishes with one hand and we can't read the Bible with the other. But this is something that you could, and it has Bible verses in it, you could read with one hand or have it propped up there while you're washing the dishes or making something. It's just one of those practical, wonderful books that I recommend every mommy to get or every person to get for their mommy. Now, as we conclude the show, I noticed that you are also a speaker, and if they go to your website, www.lindagilden.com, will they find it, will they be able to contact you if they would like to arrange a speaking engagement?
Yes, there are speaking topics there, which are not the only ones that I do, but there's a list there, but there's contact information. And I would love to hear from them. I love to speak to MOPS groups, and especially because that's where my heart is, for helping young moms to enjoy their children.
Yes, if they can start now enjoying, they will live life with no regrets.
Absolutely.
But so many moms look back and go, oh, I wish I had taken the time then, because I don't have the opportunity now.
And they'll bring your grandchildren to you, so you can do something fun with them.
That's right. Well, thank you so much for being with us, Linda. And I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
Thank you. God bless you as well.
You know, Kathy, I didn't want this show, I didn't want this month to go by without acknowledging the fact that we are now starting on our fifth year of broadcasting Homeschool Companion.
That really is amazing. Surprising. It doesn't seem that long at all. Time has gone by so fast.
Yes, and people probably don't realize that, you know, we didn't have any training really in broadcasting of any type. God has given us this ministry, and we both work in order to forward the ministry, and we often sit here for hours producing, editing the shows, and we just want to thank our listeners for faithfully listening to us.
Oh, absolutely. Without our listeners, we wouldn't be able to continue the show.
Yes, and so if you think about it, just give the station that is carrying our show, just tell them that you enjoy hearing it, because that's the only thing that keeps us going, is your words of affirmation.
Absolutely.
Well, we're now going to say officially goodbye, except that maybe we should say, well, we have one last thing to say, and that is,
God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more information, go to myhomeschoolcompanion.com. That's myhomeschoolcompanion.com.